Thank you for joining us on The Skeptic Psychic, where we delve into ancient societies, ghosts, the paranormal, UFOs, all looking at it from the perspective of the true believer and from the skeptic perspective. Joining me, my partner, my co-host, my sibling, Kimber Rodriguez. Myself, I am Richard Gregg. And again, let's look into being the skeptic psychic.
Hello. Thank you once again to come to and see the world of the skeptic psychic, where we delve into one of the wonderful world of wizards, witches, things, and all the wonderful things that you may ask, but were never wanted to. How was the eclipse? Did you enjoy it? Tell us. But with me today, I'm starting to get off topic, is my wonderful, sweet, kind, considerate, brave, clean, reverend sister of mine, Kimber Rodriguez.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Did you get to see the eclipse yesterday?
Yes, I did. Bits and pieces of it.
I slept through it. I ended up having, I was like exhausted all day, so I took a nap. And from what I saw, it was really cloudy out, but it kind of had a cool effect with, you know, what you could see behind the clouds. So that was very interesting. And I've seen a lot of pictures of it online.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was talking with my coach and she said, even looking, because you know how you're not supposed to look at the sun directly or you'll go blind.
Yep.
She was telling me that just looking at the photos, her eyes were beginning to hurt. So I don't know if it was some kind of mental thing or what, but yeah,
right.
It was quite a lot of interesting photos out there. So what's new with you this week?
Well, like I said, I watched the eclipse while listening to Total Eclipse of the Heart.
How
it
fitting.
fits.
Really?
Yes.
You know that song was written for a vampire musical that was never completed?
Yep. Do you know it was written for by the same guy who wrote all the music for Meatloaf?
Interesting. Yeah, if you've ever seen the video of Total Eclipse of the Heart, after finding out that it was written for a vampire musical, singing a song for, you know, someone in love with a vampire, The video makes a lot more sense. I mean, before I knew that, I just thought, oh my gosh, this is a really trippy, artsy video. But yeah, it really fits.
Turn around, bright eyes.
Yes, very interesting. But then if you've seen her other video for Holding Out for a Hero, it's also kind of on that artsy scale. Anyway, tonight we're
again another song written by the same guy who does Meatloaf's music.
Really?
Yeah.
I love Meatloaf's music. He was truly an artist.
Yes.
Well, some of his songs were. Some of them, like Paradise for the Dashboard Lights.
Yeah.
I mean, at least you get the imagery behind it, but.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But we got off topic.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about a very exciting Key West celebrity.
Yes, one that I've been intrigued by for quite a while. I would love to take a trip to Key West to check out.
I just want to go to Key West because, you know,
home
for
of the
Keys.
Oh, I thought it was the home of the Key Lime Pie.
That too, but I'm reading. I mean, again, off topic. Let's talk about this wonderful celebrity that you're such a big fan of.
Yes, we are talking tonight about Robert the Doll. And it's quite an interesting story. If you haven't heard it, we invite you to sit back and tune in and listen. If you have heard it, maybe you'll catch something that you were unaware of about him. But I digress. Why don't you begin?
Robert the Doll is a famous and supposedly haunted doll that become a part of Key West, and also Florida's local folklore. The doll originally belonged to Robert Eugene Otto, an artist known for his eccentric behavior. The doll, which is said to be cursed, was reportedly given to Robert Otto in 1906 by a servant who was supposedly practicing black magic and voodoo.
Voodoo that you do so well.
Now, right now, we are going to start calling him Eugene Otto, also known as Gene to his friends, because he was born in a wealthy family in Key West. His childhood was spent in the affluent environment of his family's Victorian-style home, which would later be known as the Artist House. From a young age, Eugene displayed a keen interest in the arts, showing a talent in painting and creativity.
Yes, his early his early life was marked by a privileged upbringing. He attended private schools, and he lived in a community where his family was well-respected. Now, despite his social standings, he was known to have a vivid imagination. He had an interest in the unusual, and these are traits that would, you know, define his personality and his career later in years. It is notable that he was nurtured in an environment that encouraged his artistic expression. Key West has a vibrant and culture scene, and it is picturesque with landscapes that provided a rich backdrop for his developing artist sensibilities. As a child, Eugene was often seen with a sketchbook in hand. He drew scenes from his surroundings, and he also created portraits of people in his life. Recognizing his artistic potential, his family did support his creative pursuits from a young age. This did nurture him, allowing him to experiment with different forms of art, including painting, sculptures, and even writing. His early experiences with art were not just limited to the traditional canvas, as he was known to use also the walls of his home, much to his family's dismay.
Much to his dismay, hey. Because the Otto family's social standing in Key West meant that Eugene grew up among the influential and currently aware individuals. The exposure to the diverse artistic and social circles undoubtedly influenced his artistic style and interests. His family historical home became a gathering place for local artists, writers, and intellectuals, providing Eugene with an early exposure to the broader artistic community. Now, the story of how Eugene Otto received Robert the Doll is seeped in legend and varies depending on the source. The most popular version of the story suggests that Robert was given to Eugene in 1904 by Bahamian servant working for his family. This said to have been cursed by the doll with voodoo or black magic before giving it to sweet, innocent young Eugene.
Yes, according to folklore, the servant was skilled in black magic. She used these skills to imbue the doll with a malevolent life of its own. This was supposedly done as an act of revenge for mistreatment by the Otto family. The doll was named Robert, which was also Eugene's given name, but he went by Gene, and the doll took the name Robert. The relationship between Eugene and the doll quickly became a topic of conversation. This was among those who knew the family. As Eugene would normally speak to the doll, and it was said that the doll would respond. His voice heard by others through closed doors. The family also reported strange occurrences, like the doll moving from one place to another, or unsettling expressions appearing on its face. The stories have contributed to mystique and legend of Robert the Doll, making it a fascinating legend and a subject of paranormal interest, also a significant part of the Key West local lore.
Now, eerie occurrences associated with Robert during Eugene Otto's childhood have contributed to the legendary status. People often reported hearing the doll giggle and saw the expression change. Witnesses also claimed that Robert's position would shift inexplicably when no one was in the room, suggesting he could have moved on his own. There are also accounts of Eugene blaming Robert for various mischief and accidents. Kind of like he was this imaginary friend. But if something was broken or disturbed, Eugene would say, "Robert did it." This phrase became a recurring explanation for any household mishap, further entwining the doll in a web of mystique and blame. Keeps himself out of trouble. Robert did it.
Sure he did. Now, neighbors and friends also recounted stories of seeing Robert peering from different windows in the Otto house when the family was away. This led to rumors that the doll was indeed alive and moving around the house. These unsettling events that surrounded Robert the doll helped cement its reputation as a haunted object, with these tales continuing to be part of the lore surrounding Robert and the Otto family. Couldn't he have just taken the doll and set it there before they left? Like, maybe he was peering out the window with the doll and his mom's like, "Come on, Eugene, we gotta go." So he just left Robert there and they left. I mean, nobody actually saw Robert moving the curtains and looking out himself. They just saw him there. So it's very possible he could have just been left there.
Yep.
Now, later in his life, Eugene did marry Anne Lauer. This was in the 1930s. Anne was a concert pianist, and she also came from a well-to-do family, but from Boston. Their marriage brought her into his autistic and somewhat eccentric world.
Now, there's a little detailed information regarding that their private life, including whether they had any children. The available historical records and accounts of the life together did not mention any offspring. Their marriage is often discussed in the context of Eugene's particular relationship with Robert, which was a significant aspect of that life together and reportedly caused tension in their relationship. His relationship with his wife, Anne, and his doll, Robert, created a unique and complex dynamic in the household. This triangular relationship was marked by a blend of artistic temperaments, high society expectations, and the unsettling influences of Robert.
Yes, Eugene's devotion to Robert often did clash with Anne's sensibilities. She perceived the doll as being eerie and disruptive within their home. And not just a remnant of Jean's childhood. This led to a peculiar domestic situation where Anne sought to diminish Robert's presence. She advocated that Robert be kept in the attic, while Eugene insisted that the doll's active inclusion should be going on and continuing in their lives. The dynamic in their relationship was not just about the physical presence of Robert, but also a psychological impact that it had on the relationship. Eugene's interactions with the doll, such as treating it as a living entity that was capable of making decisions and having events, added layers of complexity to their marital life. This included the atmosphere in their home and shaped their interactions with one another.
Now, in this relationship, Eugene's allegiance often was divided between Anne and Robert, with the doll embodying a constant, if silent, participant in their life together. The unusual living arrangements and the tensions it created provide a glimpse into the unconventional nature of Eugene's adult life and his enduring bond with his doll named Robert. In later years, Eugene's relationship with Robert remained as strong and peculiar as ever. Even as an older man, Eugene maintained a close and personal bond with Robert, treating the doll not just as a cherished childhood toy, but a lifelong companion. This bond is reflected on how Eugene continued to involve Robert in daily life and artistic process, often placing the doll in a prominence where he could interact with it while he painted and worked in his studio.
Yes, Eugene's attachment to Robert was such that the doll was almost a constant presence in his life. This was to the extent, sorry, I keep getting pop-ups and they're distracting me, but this was to the extent that it influenced his social interactions. And this also affected the way he was perceived in his own community. Locals and visitors alike were aware of Eugene's eccentric behavior. And stories of his peculiar relationship with Robert continued to circulate throughout Key West, and this added folklore to the surrounding of the doll. Now, despite the passing of time, Eugene's affections and attention towards the doll did not waver. He would often attribute current occurrences to the house, I'm sorry, occurrences around the house, to the doll's actions, maintaining the narrative of Robert's supernatural influence, that, you know, kind of like he did in his own youth, he would continue to say that, oh, well, I didn't do that, Robert did that. So this, you know, relationship between Robert and Eugene suggested a deep psychological connection that persisted throughout his entire life. And this made Robert an integral part of his identity and his legacy.
Now, as Eugene grew older, the mystique of Robert in the eyes of the public also grew, with the doll becoming increasingly intertwined with Eugene's persona and tales of the haunted Otto home. This enduring bond between man and doll contributed to captivate the imagination of those who heard their story. Further cementing the legacy of Robert the Doll is a significant place in the life of Eugene. Eugene died in 1974, sorry to say. After his death, the fate of Robert became a new chapter in its sordid extension. Anna, Eugene's wife, reportedly moved Robert to the attic before she sold the artist's house and left Key West. So she left after he died. The doll remained there until it was discovered by the new homeowners.
Nothing scarier than finding a haunted doll in the attic of a new home you just purchased.
Yes. Just now, like Annabelle.
Now, the new owners did report strange occurrences similar to those that the Otto family had previously reported. This contributed to Robert's growing legend as being a haunted doll. Eventually, Robert the doll was donated to the East Martello Museum in Key West, where he has since been on display. So I guess they were like, you know, this doll's too much. We got to get rid of it. Let's just go ahead and donate it. Let it be somebody else's problem.
Yeah. Oh, this is Robert Eugene Otto's doll. He was a significant person here. Let's give it to the museum.
At the museum, Robert did become a popular attraction and draws visitors from around the world who are intrigued by his eerie backstory and also alleged supernatural abilities. Visitors do often face difficulties with their cameras and electronic devices near Robert. There are frequent reports of cameras ceasing to function or experiencing glitches when trying to capture images of the doll. Some visitors find that their devices only malfunction in Robert's presence. With photographers coming out, I'm sorry, photographs, not the photographers, but their photographs coming out blurred, or in some cases, not being captured at all.
Now, despite being in an enclosed glass case, Robert is said to exhibit unexplained movements. Museum guests and staffs had noticed instances where the doll appears to change positions, move its head, or facial expressions. Some even claim to hear the witness, Robert, tapping on the glass as in trying to communicate or draw attention. A common experience shared by those who visit Robert is a sense of unease or sudden shift in the emotional state. Reports of feeling watched or encountering cold spots near the doll are frequent. Visitors are often described as heavy or charged atmosphere around Robert, contributing to the feeling of a haunted presence. The museum receives numerous letters addressed to Robert, varying from apologies for disrespectfulness or requests for the doll to undo perceived curses or bad luck. Many visitors believe that disrespecting Robert or taking his photograph without asking his permission can lead to negative consequences. There is a widespread belief that Robert can curse individuals who do not show him the proper respect, leading to a series of misfortunes. The superstition has led to the practice of asking Robert permission before taking any photographs, a ritual that many adhere to or in order to avoid his alleged wrath.
Now I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
How can they know if the permission is granted?
There has been some reports where Robert will actually nod its head. I'm serious.
No, I believe you. I just, that's very interesting. I've wondered about that often. How do you know if he's saying yes or no? I guess if the picture comes out also?
Yeah, maybe.
Yes, the letters often do contain apologies for disrespect. This could be like touching the glass, laughing at him, not taking him seriously. However, writers sometimes also describe the series of unfortunate events that described them, I'm sorry, that befell them after their visit to the museum. Attributing to these misfortunes to Robert's displeasure. Again, they do ask for the forgiveness to plead with the doll to lift any curse or bad luck that believed to have been placed on them. However, some letters go beyond apologies and actually ask Robert for assistance or blessings. This suggests that while some may fear him, others believe that he has the ability to bestow good luck or aid on them. These letters do often come from individuals who respect the doll's power and seek to be in his favor. So it's like almost a religious icon for them,
maybe.
I guess you could say.
Yeah. The phenomenon of writing to Robert underscores a unique and cultural paranormal significance that he holds. The practice reflects the blend of fear, respect, and fascination that Robert continues to inspire in those who encounter his story or even visit him, demonstrating this enduring legacy of the man mystique of the Key West folklore and beyond. Museum staff members have also recounted hearing eerie sounds, such as giggling or changes in Robert's facial expression. especially when the museum is closed to the public. Furthermore, there are accounts of hearing roars at night due to the stuffed lion that Robert is said to accompany him. These roars add an extra layer of mystery and intimidation to the legend of Robert, reinforcing the belief in his supernatural presence and power.
Now, skeptics generally view the phenomenon surrounding Robert the Doll with a critical eye. They attribute these stories and experiences to... Sorry, I lost my screen. Let me get back. Okay, there you are. Hi.
Hi. How you Sorry. Doing?
I'm doing good.
All right.
Okay, again, skeptics do generally view the phenomenon surrounding Robert the Doll with a critical eye. They attribute these stories and experiences to psychological and social and environmental factors rather than just supernatural occurrences. They often point to the power of suggestion as a key factor in the experiences that are reported by Robert the Doll. So say you go to, you know, you go and you see Robert, and then you poke fun at him. I'm not saying you should, just saying if you did, and you're driving home and you get a flat tire. Well, people would say, well, if you wouldn't have made fun of Robert, that tire wouldn't have gone flat.
So yeah, or you're trying to change that flat tire and a car drives by you and just splashes the holy heck out of you.
Of water.
Yeah. Now, you know, it's a fact, it was raining, so that could happen.
But again, you disrespected Robert. You got wet changing your flat tire.
Mm-hmm.
They also argue that eerie stories and legends that surround Robert can, you know, start visitors to feel that fear, anxiety, or anticipation. This leads up to heightened emotional responses and a tendency to misinterpret ordinary occurrences as paranormal. So you're already hyped up by these stories. You go in and you see something out of the corner of your eye. Oh, well, it must be Robert. Even though it could be just a reflection of a light or somebody passing by, your mind automatically goes to Robert. Also, they do suggest that, you know, there is a bias that plays into the role of perpetrating the legend. People that believe in Robert's supernatural abilities are more likely to interpret any unusual event, like I said, into the evidence of it being the doll is haunted. This bias can lead to, you know, any unnatural occurrences, like I mentioned, such as, you know, reflection of somebody going by, the technical malfunctions, your camera running out of batteries. All of these, again, attributing to Robert the Doll. Well, now it would be your phone dying because we don't have cameras really except for on our phones anymore. But yeah, that all goes back to this idea that's already planted into our head and not necessarily an actual haunting.
Right. Now, there is another thought of the skeptics might argue is legend of Robert has grown and persisted due to the value of the cultural and historical artifact. The story of this doll contributes to the local identity and tourism industry of Key West, making it a compelling tale to preserve and share regardless of the factual base. Now, regarding the reported technical malfunctions and strange occurrences, skeptics often look for a rational explanation, such as low batteries, user error, oh, I know a lot about that, or environmental factors that could interfere with electronical devices. They might also attribute warts of reports of dolls' movement or changes in expression to optical illusions or the imaginary interpretations of the onlookers.
So, in conclusion, what are your thoughts about Robert the Doll? Is it just a healthy situation? I'm sorry, is it just a situation of a man child that has a healthy an unhealthy attachment to a child's toy? Or is it the case of a haunted object that controlled this man's life? Was it the obsession with the doll that consumed the man and gave life to Robert? Let us know in the comments your thoughts on this. And Richard, what do you think? Do you believe that Robert the doll is actually a haunted doll that was cursed by this servant?
I am not too sure about that. You know, I did watch the when Zach had a visit from Robert in the haunted museum, and his doorman had to apologize to Robert because he got startled.
Ah, yes, our favorite ghost hunter.
Yes, but then again, like I said, it's Robert is an interesting subject. I mean, could it be basically what scientists may and legends may say is a Tula? And I'd like to discuss what a Tula is, possibly in the future.
Oh my gosh, I was just thinking that the other day. We definitely should cover that. I was listening to an interview with, I want to say it was with Jack Osborne and Cindy Kaza. And they were talking about Cthulhas. And I was like, this is something we need to cover on the podcast because it's such an interesting topic. Me personally, when getting back to Robert, I think being the believer that I am, I want to believe that it's haunted because, you know, just that eeriness and how cool it would be. But then the rational side of my brain is like, I'd have to see to believe it. So that would part of the reason why I would love to take a trip to Key West and, you know, see this doll myself to see if anything interesting occurs. But let us know, again, let us know in the comments what you think. And next episode, we will be taking a trip back. I know it's been a while, but we are going back, as we promised, to the haunted Old West. And we're going to look at some more stories there. So make sure you do tune in there for some more spooks and scares of a forgotten time in our past. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, we do ask that you rate us. How many stars do we like?
Yes, stars. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco.
Yes, as Oliver the cat has pointed out, we like 5 stars, but we'll take whatever you can give us. And we do ask that you do review us if you can, whether it be on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Audible. We do read reviews on air, and we desperately need them. So please, please rate and review us so that other people can find us. And anything else we need to share for this week?
But everybody must have a very good day. And remember, unpleasant nightmares.
Sweet dreams, everybody. We'll see you next time, and good night.